Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf tesvav. We're holding the last two lines on Yud Dalet Amid Beis, where the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah Ho'erchen. And the Lashon of the Mishnah is Ho'erchen HaMetaltlin is B'shloisha, which means that when we deal with Erchen Metaltlin, you need a Bezdin of three. And the question is, what does Erchen Metaltlin mean? That sounds kind of like an oxymoron, because the Erchen that you find in the Torah is only Legabe B'nei Odom, Legabe people. And it depends on their age and on their gender as the amount that you have to pay. If you say Erech Ploini Olai, the first thing you have to find out is how old that individual is. And then, assuming that you know that it's a man or a lady, so then based on that, the Torah has a whole bunch of brackets as to how much you have to pay each time. So, but that only applies to many other. It doesn't talk about Kalim, it doesn't talk about Karka. So what's this Erechen HaMetaltlin? My Erechen HaMetaltlin. A person looks at a kli. The person could have said, "Demei kli ze olai," and that would mean that this person has now pledged to give to the Gizbar, the Beis Hamikdash, the value of this kli. But he didn't say, "Demei kli ze olai." He said, "Eirach kli olai." That doesn't make any sense. Zokti Yomara, it does make sense. Yom Rav Gidla Marav, Oime Eirach kli ze olai, Noisein Domov. He has to go and give the value to the Gizbar of the Beis Hamikdash. My time, but why? The word Erech Kli doesn't mean anything. My time, Odom Yodea She'ein Erech Kli. Everybody knows, anybody that has learned a little bit of Chumash and knows the Parsha of Erechen, knows that the term Erech and Kli do not go together. The Gom of Omar Lishim Domim, if what he really meant was Domim, even though he used the term Erech, that wasn't really his Kavana, he meant Domim. Mishamachi, Noisin Domov. And Rashi adds that this is famous in the name of Remeir, that Ein Odom Moitzi Dvarav Vatola. When a person says something, we're assuming he means it. We're not talking about politicians that are constantly being Moitzi Dvarav Vatola. We're talking about a person that is trying to go and give a pledge and money to the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, we assume that he had every intention that his pledge be honored and that this is a bona fide thing. And so therefore, even though he used the wrong terminology, his kavana was good. And ein odem moitzi dvar levatal. So he said, Erech, he really meant dumb. Although Rashi doesn't quote in the name of Rav Meir, the top choice says this is the famous memra of Rav Meir. Anyway, continue on the Gemara. So therefore, when it says Erech HaMetaltlin, it's as if a person said, Demei HaMetaltlin. Ah, so now the question is, I have those metalklin in front of me, and the person didn't say, I'm giving these metalklin to the Beis Hamikdash. He's saying, I'm giving the value of the metalklin. Do you know what the value is? Do I know what the value is? You go and bring three shamayin, three appraisers, and they'll tell us what the value is, and whatever they decide, that's the amount that that person is going to have to give to the Beis Hamikdash. Says Yimara, this is a very nice pshat. However, in the text of the Mishnah, Ha'erchen, HaMetaltlin, Erechen, Shel Metaltlin, Miboyelei. Shouldn't the Lashon and the Mishnah been the Erech of a Metaltlin? That you have to determine what's the value of the Metaltlin, then Bishloisha, then you have to have three Shamoin, three appraisers. So the term Erechen HaMetaltlin is a bissel shver. Says him, okay, today make a small emendation in the Mishnah and let it say Erechen Shel Metaltlin. Okay, that's the beginning of Merav. Rav Chizda Amar Avimi, here's another pshat, Rav Chizda Amar Avimi, then matvis metaltlin li erchen. Now what means matvis metaltlin li erchen? A person said, l'moisho erki alai, or erich ploini alai. And therefore he's now mechuyiv to pay whatever the Torah says he's mechuyiv to go and pay. Whatever the amount is, let's say it's 50 shkol. And the person doesn't have cash, but instead what he does is, he brings metaltlin to the Beis Hamikdash, which are worth the 50 shkol. And he hands it over to the Gizbar, he gives him three tables, two chairs, five pens, all together it's worth 50 shkolim, here, it's for you. Okay, and what happens now? Now, subsequently, the Gizbar says, it's very generous that you gave me all these chairs and tables and pens, but quite frankly, I already have enough chairs and tables and pens. Would you like to be poided? Yes, I'd love to be poided. If that's the case, how much are you going to go and be poided for? I don't know. So you bring in three shamoin to go and decide how much you have to go and pay to be poided min ha'ekdash. And does zok yitzav chizda, but matfis metaltlin li'erch. Zok tomorrow, okay, that's also a very nice pshat, but hay erchen ha'metaltlin, Why does the Mishnah use the term Erchen Metalklin? You should say Metalklin Shel Erchen Miboylet. These are Metalklin which were used to pay off an Erech that the person took upon himself. Erech Ploini, Erechi, whatever the amount is, he's using those Metalklin to pay off the Erech. And now you want to be paid to those Metalklin. Fine, so you need three. So to Yomara, today, Erech Rami, make a small change to the Mishnah, Metalklin Shel Erech. So both Pshatim, you had to make a small emendation because Erech and Metalklin really doesn't work. It means Metalklin Shel Erech. Rebbe Vo Omar, I have a third Pshat. Ba'oime Erki Olai, and Ba'koyin Ligvois Mimenu Metalklin. Then, Bishloisha, Karkois Basar. Person said, Erki Olai, or Erech Ploini Olai, and now we know exactly what the amount is based on what it says in the Torah. However, when it comes to paying, he says, I don't have any money with me. I'm sorry, I can't help you. When are you going to have enough money to pay? Well, about 25 years from now. We can't wait 25 years. So what happens now? Now when the gizmer is coming in to be goyva from him, the amount for the Erki Olai, he says, I don't have any cash. So they'll grab whatever they can get. If they can go and get metalklin, they'll take metalklin. If they can get karka, they'll get karka. But since the amount of his erech, although that is fixed, but the amount of the value of these metalklin and the karka is not fixed. So therefore you have to go and get some shamoin, some appraisers to help you out. So by metalklin you only need three, while by karka you need 10. Why is there a difference between 3 and 10? We discussed this already briefly yesterday, because if you look in the parasha of
erech,
but I'm looking in, is it not Kismasa? No. In Parashas B'chu Koisai, you have three parashas, one after the other. First you have the parasha of Erchen, then you have the parasha of Pidyon Behemet Meya, which is really referring to all Metalklin, and then you have Karkois. So we said 3, 3, and 4, 10 altogether. You remember we discussed that yesterday morning. So anyway, so when you're dealing with Metalklin, there are three, because the Torah says by the Behemet Meyas, you want to be poided, you have to go and give three. You have to have three shemoin. Varicha koin, kashiyaracha koin, everything koin, koin. So those are the marichen. When it comes to karkois, it's basora, because if you add 3, 3, and 4, the 3 by erichen, the 3 by pidyon, and then the 4 by karka, altogether you have 10. So that's what he means by the erichen hametalklin, that the person is now paying off his erichen by the gizbar, taking from him the metalklin, but you need three to go and assess the value. Take, for instance, in the case of, remember we had three pshatim over here, and pshat number two was, Rav Chisda Omar Avimi, that matvis metalklin the erichen, and we explained that the person gave metalklin to pay off his erichen, and then the gizbar says, would you like these metalklin back? I don't really need so many tables and chairs and beds. Okay, I'm happy to take it back. If you want to take it back, you have to be poided. Fine. How much are you going to go and pay?
Why doesn't he give the value of the garden? He just gave him.
Yeah, because he may have given more than was necessary. In other words, he, for instance, was due to go and pay. The highest shkolim amount is 50 shkolim. Right, if the person between, I think, 30 and 60, and you have to pay 50 shkolim. That's by a man. Lady, it's only 30 shkolim. So he has to go and pay 50 shkolim, the mushroom. So the gizbar says, do you have cash? No cash. Do you have checks? No checks. But you do have a talfin. Okay. Hand over the talfin. So you give 3 chairs, 4 tables, 5 gold pens, 3 koises, and then 2 turtle doves. And everybody looks at it and says, well, that's far, much, much more than 50 shkolim. That's sure. But that's very generous. Thank you very much. And he takes it. Then the gizbar takes it. So there was no question that we were above the 50 shkolim mark. But now when the gizbar comes to him and says, I want you to be boided, are you interested? Yeah, sure, I'm interested. Now he says, I don't have to go and give more than the value, or forget, if they are talking more valuable than the 50, since they're all kodesh, if I want to be boided, then I have to pay more than my 50. The person, when he gave it, he was very generous, he didn't go and count it up, 12 boxes of tissue.
So he has to pay the market value.
He has to pay the market value.
Plus the fifth. Plus the fifth.
That's true, but that doesn't deal with it.
But really, if he's redeeming his own property,
right,
why do you need to estimate? You know what the value of his debt was. So even if it was worth,
yeah, but you need to know the value of the property that he's redeeming.
No, you don't. Because if his debt to the Beis Hamikdash was 50 shkolim,
right, mm-hmm,
then he owes 62 and a half shkolim. Whether his property was worth 100 shkolim, 100,000 shkolim, it doesn't matter. His redemption is not for the property, it's for the Erech, isn't it?
Once he gives the property, now it belongs to the Gizbar.
It's all like, of it, or just proportionate to the Erech? And that's I guess, the hinge of my question.
I understand. He's due to go and give 50. If he gave a check for 50, there wouldn't be a problem.
Right.
However, he gave Erech. So he gave a whole bunch of things, and then the Gizbar says, that's very, very nice.
You're paid in full.
You paid in full. I'm sure this is in excess of 50. It's probably 60 or 80 or 100, whatever you get. It's right. Beautiful. Beautiful. So now it is part of the major treasury, and now a day later, a week later, a month later, the Gizbar decides, he's doing an inventory year end, and he says, you know, I got too many tables, too many chairs, too many pens. What am I going to do with all of these things? So first you give the opportunity to the original owner, maybe you have some sort of sentimental value, would you like to go and take it back? Okay, fine. How much do I have to go and pay? I don't know how much worth. Maybe it's gone up in value. Maybe it's gone down in value.
Fluctuation.
But his erech was for 50.
That was still fulfilled, you know, a day ago.
He just paid
more or less. So the excess of the metalton or the karka, mm-hmm, beyond which satisfied the erech debt,
mm-hmm,
that belongs to the Beis Hamikdash also.
Yes,
it's exactly. Also it's all
unless, okay. Unless he would have asked him to give me change.
Yeah. I see.
Give me back. I'll give you 80. Okay. Give me 30 cash.
He could have said initially, all of this together is worth 80. Give me back 30. He could have done that, but he didn't. He says, I'm giving it. And the Gizra said, you deserve to be the guest of honor at the forthcoming
Lach Malka. Right.
Exactly.
He didn't have to call 1-800-JUNK to remove the tables, so he was glad to give it.
Whatever it is. Anyway, the point is that now it became part of the treasury together with everything else. If he wants to go and be paid, he has to go and be paid according to its value. And if he decides he doesn't want to be paid, somebody else will be paid according to its value. The only difference is, as you said, you'll have to add a chaymish. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara says, Mishlam lafukim mehegdish beinish loisha. I can understand you're trying to extract it from hegdish. You don't want hegdish to lose out, and so therefore you need shloisha to tell you exactly how much it's worth, so that the hegdish doesn't lose a penny. El yuli hegdish shloisha lamali. But to go and give the Hegdish, why do you need to have three? Meaning, in Rebbe Avohu's case, we're talking about that the Koyin is, when we say Koyin, we really mean the Gizbar, we use the term Koyin because you have to have a Koyin for purposes of the Shuma. Anyway, bottom line is, you have the Gizbar that went and he was Goyve the Metaltlin, so the way Rebbe Avohu learned Pshat, make sure you take the Metaltlin, make sure that the three that are watching that are appraising this property that the Beis Hamikdash is getting their fair share of what they're supposed to get. So for Eitimar, I can understand when you're taking away from Hegdish, you need big Shamoim, big appraisers. But let you the Hegdish, Shloish Shalamani, what do you need the three for? On Malaysia, he said to him, I don't understand really your kasha. Svaru. It's a svar. Mali Yuli, Mali Afuke. What difference does it make whether you're giving or taking? Afuke, my time, Dilmatoi. The reason why Bafuki, the reason why you have to have three Shemoyim is because you don't want the Beis Hamikdash to lose out because maybe they'll make a mistake in estimating and appraising the value. Mm-hmm. This is worth it. But then you take three fancy appraisers, they're going to come and say, no, this is worth much, much more. Can't you see there's a mark underneath that silver cost that shows that this happens to be
sterling silver,
and it's from the it's Tiffany, and therefore it's even worth more than that, and blah, 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 blah. So therefore, says the Gemara, just like by Afuke, you want to make sure that the Bismidge is not losing out. Same thing. But the same thing is the Gabi, my Afuke, my time, when you're giving towards the Bismidge, since this person has to go and give his 50 shkolim, if all the things that the Gizbar is taking from him in Metalton is worth only 40 shkolim, then the Bismidge is losing out. So therefore, you always have to have the three Shemoyim, both when it's Hachnosis and Hoitzois, both when it's Lafuke and Right, says in the Pasuk, Yehuda says you have to have three plus or three, and one of them has to be a Koyin. Let's look back at the Mishnah, make sure that we're quoting it correctly. The Tanakhama just said that by the Metalton, Erchim Metalton, three, then Rabbi Yehuda says, Echem and Koyin. This is the fourth wide line in the Mishnah on Daf Beis Omer Aleph. Erchim Metalton, Shloisha, Bira Omer, so 2 plus 1. Varka koyis is tishva koyin. 9 plus 1. Ba'odim kiyois ben. See, Mar is going to explain each one of these in turn. So first word, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Amli Rapopo Le'abai, Mishlam Rabbi Yehuda Haini Dechsev Koyin. I can understand why Rabbi Yehuda requires that at least one of them be a Koyin, because if you look in the three parishes that we spoke about before, it says the name Koyin, it says he uses the term Koyin several times. The one that the Gemara, for instance, over here, you see the Torah Ora Sholin, the Herech HaKoyin Oisa, Bein Toivu Bein Ra, Ke'erkach HaKoyin Kein Yeshtei Tachkoyin. So I can understand why Rabbi Yehuda requires one to be a Koyin. And the Rabbanan Koyin Lamaluhu. If the Rabbanan say, any three appraisers, remember we said yesterday, even a Goy could be an appraiser. Even the Baalim can be an appraiser. Even a woman can be an appraiser. Just like the person is an expert in the field. Mm-hmm. Can't just take anybody. It's got to be Lekuchais. And Rashi said Lekuchais yesterday. That means Sochrim Bekiyim Bishuma. People that know their stuff. So, Bazoi, why does the Torah use the term Koyin according to the Tanakhama that says there is no Koyin requirement? Says Imar Kasha, who's good kefrek, for the Koyin, you have a Fetish right for the Pasuk like Abaya, not like Rabbi Yehuda, and not like the Tanakhama. It's not Keshver, why the Tanakhama doesn't require a Koyin. But what does the Mishra require? We got a Koyin. It should be Tish of a Koyin, 10 altogether, 9. Anyone? The Koyin plus a Koyin. Where do we take this from? Omer Shmuel, Asor Koyhanim Ksum B'Parsha. We already said yesterday, 3, 3, and 4, 10 altogether. Chad Legufe, one tells you need a Koyin. Hanachavamiyat Achamiyat, Vemirachamiyat Elo Lerabbis. There's an interesting Talmudic precept, an interesting rule, that when the Torah uses multiple miyutim, which were unnecessary, so it's a little bit counterintuitive. You would think, oh, Nochamiyat, once it's really certain that you want to be Mamayit. No, we learned that's one of the Masoidis Lagabe, how you darsh in Psukim, that when you have a multiple miyut, the second miyut comes Lerabbis. So, Lemushal over here, we have the term Koyin used 10 times. So the way the Gemara learns is, well, the first time, I need to tell you need a Koyin. But the second time, why does the Pasuk have to repeat again Koyin? It should just go and say, V'heri Koyin, right? The first one Pasuk is, V'herach HaKoyin, and then it says, Ke'erach HaKoyin lo yiyya. Why do you have to say Ke'erach HaKoyin? Let it just simply say, Ke'erach Ken yiyya. We already said Koyin. The fact that Torah repeats it again and again and again and again comes to tell you, not that it's a miut, but to go and tell you that it's a riboy, a miut achar miut el rabbi. So the first time you talk, you have to start off with a Koyin. But the second one, when it says again Koyin, no, you don't need a Koyin again. We already said Koyin. It comes to me marba. When it comes to marba, tafilu tes Yisrael, the echad Koyin. Even 9 Yisraelim and 1 is a Koyin is also good. Maskel Ravuna b'nei Rav Nosson. Eim hachamisha Koyanim v'chamisha Yisraelim. 1 second, let's try to kind of parse this. And that is, let's start off talk the first time it says a Koyin. The second time you didn't need to say a Koyin. So it comes to the rabbis. So fill Yisrael. Okay, and the next time, the Gemara assumes, we're starting all over again. That once again, we're starting, it says Koyin, so you should require a Koyin. And then the fourth time, in Miyat Achar Miyat El Rabbis. What does that come to include? Even in Yisrael. Okay, continue on to the next Koyin. That Koyin I need. That's the Gufay. The next Koyin after that, in Miyat Achar Miyat El Rabbis. So why don't you go and say 5 Kohanim and 5 Yisraelim? So you look at the Rashi in the middle of the Amud, just go up a few lines. Ve'ei mechamisha kahanim mechamisha Yisrael. But inan, you should need 5 plus 5. The kamal legufe. The first one is the gufe to tell you it's gotta be a koyin. The sheni loy, the second one after that, the second koyin of mirachamir, and that's el rabbis. Ushlishi hoda itzrich legufe. The third time again need it legufe for zichalain for itself. Then you have a koyin. The kivin this rabbele mimiyat achamir afil Yisrael. Since previously, on our first two, the first one was a Koyin. Second one was Mir Achamiyat, is the Rabbis of Fili Yisrael. Okay, so I'm done with that. I have my first set, Koyin and Yisrael. Why does the Torah repeat it yet again? Nochamul Miyat. Oh, he heard the cost of Koyin. Dafka Kasve. Now the Torah is writing Dafka Koyin like number Koyin number 1. Mm-hmm. Koyin number 3 is also Dafka Kasve. Klam Mir Achamiyat. This is no longer Mir Achamiyat. Dosheni Lav Miyatu. El Riboy, the previous one, number 2, as we said, in Miyat Achamiyat El Raboy, so that's a Riboy. Okay, so now when you come to number 3, it's no longer Miyat Achar Miyat, it's now Miyat Achar Riboy. So that number 3, the Miyat, becomes now Dafka Koyin. Now number 4 is Miyat Achar Miyat. El Rabbis. So now you have to have a Yisrael. You can have a Yisrael. Now when you come on to number five, it's no longer Miyat Acha Miyat, because number four was a Riboy. So it's a Miyat Acha Riboy. Right. So then number five should be a Kayin. V'chein Kulam, and so that's how you should do all five sets. Chad Tafke v'chad Av and Miyat Acha Miyat. The first one is Tafke Muzan Akein, as we should take the third. Second one is Miyat Acha Miyat L'Rabbi. So we're fine. So now we're done with that set. The next one, number three, is not a Miyat Acha Miyat. It's now Miyat Acha Riboy, because number two we converted into the rabbis. No, I was saying we're starting a brand new balance sheet. We start again, Koyin, and then the next one is Ein Miyat Acha Rabbis. That's Yisrael. So you should have to have five Koyhanim, five Yisraelim. Says Yimar, Kash, the good gefreit. The Gemara does not give an answer. And then the mission continues on.
Why don't we say we have to have 11? Because in Bezdin Shakol, even though there's only. We many times use Pesukim to say we need two, and then we add in Bezdin Shakol, so we add a third, we add a fifth.
You're right. The fact that I'm a Foshim that asked that Kasha, I don't remember offhand. I mean, I'll be smarter, one would say, because over here you don't have any decision between a plaintiff and a defendant.
Right, we had that Kasha
yesterday, and we said that the Torah's Bezdin implies that you have to have a Bezdin, which is Noit and not a Bezdin Shakol. So the same thing should apply over here. The Mefarshim asked, if you look in the footnotes I saw in the article, somebody asked it, but I don't remember what his response was, but I'm sure it was a gvaldig response. So Ayin Sham, and we continue on, v'odam ki yoitzven. And we say the same thing applies to Odam, which means parshat, that a person was maktish himself, or maktish another Odam, and now you want to go and be poited.
Yeah.
What was the
yes? Yes, it's told from Megillah, which why we require an 11th judge. Should the court have an odd number of judges?
Oh, and the answer is?
Jury Evans suggests the following explanation. Generally, a court must consist of an odd number of judges so that they vote will result in a majority decision. In this case, however, the decision of the 10 princes must be unanimous. Majority rule does not apply. Therefore, there's no reason to require an odd number of judges.
Okay, beautiful.
A unanimous appraisal of a piece of property, yeah. Really?
Yeah. Wow. They're going to be.
They're still debating it.
Right.
That's odd.
Just not to kill someone, you just need a simple majority.
Majority of three. Two, and then one more because of the way it works out.
Not work for it.
Can't have a majority of one.
Okay.
Anyway, the other kiyotzven, and then you have the bed of 23. You don't start off with 3 or 10. Anyway, Adam Kyoitzban. So Parshat Pshat Adam Kyoitzban means that just like your Maktish a Metalklin, your Maktish Karkoyis, you Maktish a person. Faith Adam Mikodish, can you be Maktish a person? Omer Bavobi Uyma Dmei Olai. Oh, not that he was Maktish the person like Kedushas Aguf. He made a Dmei Olai. He's saying Ma'i value or the Dmei Ploini Olai. What do you have to do? Now you have to appraise what that person is worth. By Erki Olai, you wouldn't have to worry about it because the trader says what the amounts are. But he was saying, Dmei Olai, either my Dhammim or Yenim's Dhammim, so you have to figure out how the person, how much is worth. So he's saying, how do you figure out how much the person is worth? Like usual, the sign you, Oimit Dmei Olai, Shaman Oisai, Kevin, and Nimka Bishuk. Go to the slave area, slave marketplace, and find out this person, you know, take him along.
Right.
How much would you go and pay for this fellow's in heaven? 5,000, 10,000, 100,000, whatever it is.
Auction.
It's like an auction, exactly. And therefore, says the Gemara, and so why do I say in the Mishnah Odom Kiyotzman you have to have 10? Because Eved Iskushkakois, that's the famous verse, that Eved Hukushkakois, even though he's not an Eved, he's a regular person, but since the Shuma is like an Eved, and the Eved has a Shuma just like Karkois, and just like Karkois requires 10, and one of them has to be a Kohen here too, the Shuma for an Eved requires the 10, this Shuma for this individual is like an Eved, and therefore you have to have 10, 9 plus 1. The obvious question is, why do we have to say to Me'olai, why can't we say a person who owned a slave and who was Maktish the slave? Now he's Maktish it to the Gizbar. The Gizbar says, Baruch Hashem, I have enough slaves working for me. Are you interested in being paid it? And now we have to figure out how much it's worth and then go and bring 10 people to go and make the appraisal. So why do you have to say to Me'olai? So anyway, this is not my Kasha. This is the second Tosis Kasha. And Tosis says, the reason is because Odom Le'mash Malei Dekoye Yevet. Since the Lashon HaMishnah is Odom Kiyotven, it doesn't say Eved Kiyotven, it says Odom Kiyotven. It's not Masha we're talking about Avodim. But we're going to talk about Avodim shortly. Is Boi Reb Oven, Seir Hu Imed Ligzois Pekama. What happens if you have Seir Hu Imed Ligzois? What does that mean? A person went and he was Maktish his hair. And
Interesting.
And we know that here has a value. For instance, for a sheitlich, exactly right. Rather, Rashi doesn't bring the sheitlich, he brings for other purposes. He talks about, it could be a toupee too, yeah. Anyway, it depends if two pay, one pay. Anyway, it's a napa.
If Rashi, two pay, it's easy, it's less each.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, so Rashi says you can use it for a napa, for a sieve, or for kilkali, for chabak, you can go and use it to go and make chains or ropes out of here. So there are multiple uses and purposes for seyer otan. So now the question is, if a person says, I makdish the hair on my head, do you need 3 people to do the shuma, or do you need 10 people to do the shuma? What's the shaila? Zokti Yimura, seyer o'imen ligozis. If he's being makdish the hair on his head whilst it's still attached to his head, but his intentions are to go and take a major haircut today or tomorrow or whenever. So do you say kigozes dummy? So it's like metalklif ubishloisha or kimachuber dummy. At the moment, it's mechuber to the person's head.
Karka.
It's like karka because evidu hukish the karkois soy bazois, and then it's mechuber like the karka. So then you need asora. So let's go and try to be poishin this shayla. It's toshima. So I'm going to poishin it. Not from a brisa directly on point, but from something very similar.
You need 10 to appraise hair?
Can you imagine?
Wow.
Only because it's
well, when you get the pamphlets from Kupar Hair, it's like 10 or more.
Oh, very good, very good. What happens if you have a major tree that belongs to Hegdish and you want to go and be pointed? You need a 10 because it's, the tree is attached to the ground. So you understand that. What happens if you don't have a big tree? You have a bunch of little flowers which are attached to the ground. As long as they're mechubel lekarka, the din of karka is you have to have 10. Even though you're talking about something which is very, very little in value, you still have the same 10. Remember, you also said yesterday in the Gemara, even a tsinar that you use for zohav, for a small little pitchfork, pitchfork for
hairs,
to go and split hairs, right? To split gold hairs, gold threads, which is a very insignificant value. It's a small little thing. It's like using a needle or using a tweezers, whatever. Nevertheless, you still have to have that appraisal. So here we're talking about, since it's mechuber, do you need 3? Do you need 10? Toshima. A makdish is out. The person of makdish is own eved. Ein me'alim boy. There is no din of me'ila. Why is there no din of me'ila? Because we say that eved is hukish to karkois, and by karka there's no din of me'ila. Ein me'ila be karkois. So that being the case, so then there's no me'ila in the Eved. Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer, the Eved himself, you're right. Me'al besarei, but the hair on the top of the Eved, if you were to go and cut that hair, and now use it for ordinary purposes, now you've been over on me'ila, because it's Hegdish. V'kaimulon, and we have a Kabbalah, that this machloikis, between Tanakam and Rav Shimon Gamliel, is talking about desarei o'imel igzot pligi. Oh, our very case of seir that is ready, willing, and able to be cut shortly by the barber. He's going to go and cut it off. And nevertheless, we have a machloikis. Ah, shema minos, I see this machloikis is directly on point. That even though this is still attached to the guy's head, according to Shem Shem Gamliel, there's a din of me'ila because it's considered kigozuz dummy, as if it's already cut. If it's already cut, it's metaltal. Metaltal is a din of me'ila. But the Tanakama, who doesn't distinguish, he just says, Amy, apparently he disagrees with Shem Gamliel, and he holds that even by Seir, there is no din of Me'ila. Why not? Because it's attached to his head. Therefore, it's Mechuber. It's Mechuber, then there's no din of Me'ila by Karkoi, there's no din of Me'ila by Avodim when the Seir is attached to their heads. Shmamina. Oh, so this Shaila that you asked, whether or not you need 3 or 10, is totally Machleik is Tanoim. So Gemara, name Hari Tanoi, Kari Tanoi, I'm going to bring you another set of Tanoim. Let us say that they are also having the same machlokes that none. Rameir Oimer, Yesh Dvorim Shein Kekarka, Vein Kekarka, Vein Chachobim Moidim Lai. There's certain things which are like karka, and they're really not karka. And the Chachobim are not Moidim Rameir. What does that mean? It sounds like a riddle. So it's Yimor Keitzat, Esi Gifanim Tu'unais M'sarit Elecha. I handed over to you 10 Gifanim Tu'unais. 10 Gifanim Tu'unais, Gefen here we're talking about means the
vines.
The vines, thank you. And on the vines are tu'unais, means that there are a whole bunch of grapes, clusters of grapes, which are growing from those vines. And therefore, I gave you these 10 lemosha for a pikodin that you should hold on to. And v'aloi oimer einan elechomish. No, you only gave me 5. The other 5 belong to me. I don't owe you 10, I only owe you 5.
Mitzvahs.
It's a mitzvah. So the question is, is this a moedim mixus or not? Because moedim mixus is only by metalklin or cash or money. Right, exactly. Your normal loan, of course, is money. You don't normally loan clusters of grapes.
Right.
Anyway, so when you have your normal loan, he says, you owe me $10, now I only owe you $5. So he's a moedim mixus, he has to make a shavua. So here's also, I gave you 10, now I only owe you 5. So you make a shavua, and I remember, here's mechai, v'chomo moimim, kol mechub l'karka, r'karka, and enish bono l'karkois. Also, that's mamish the exact same case. And v'yom rabbi yisi barachanina, v'anovim moimim, v'atzer askinen. We're not talking about anovim that have another 3 months on the vine. We're talking about they're ready to be cut right now. And what's the machlekes? Mar savik b'tzur is damyan. Since they're ready to be harvested, you deem them as if they're harvested already now. So therefore, they're on metalklin. If it's metalklin, the mayor is right. You have to make a shvua because it's a moedim mikdash metalklin. Mar savik lavki b'tzur is damyan. Even though they're ready to be cut, but the ma'isa deval, they are not cut. They are still attached to the ground. And therefore they have a din of mechubar, and that's why you're a potter. So isn't that the same machlekes lagavi the hair on the head? Over here, that's also the same machlekes is considered to be mechubar, because the deer was also seir oimen ligzois. And here it's anova oimnes libatzer. Says Yimara, it's a good try, but you have no absolute right. Because I feel Tim Remeir. Remeir can hold like the Rabbanim. Because ad kam dekam Remeir hosam kol kam deshofka v'hu mekhish kachshi. Anybody that's in the agriculture business knows that once your tvua or your anovim or your rokois are ready to be harvested, don't leave it on the vine or attached to the ground or attached to the tree forever, because they're soon going to start deteriorating. They're going to go bad. What you got to do is you got to harvest them, and then you try to preserve them. The good old days, they would put it into the field and have the sun beating down on them, and then to become then sun dried, or they would put it in some in a cellar to cool it off, whatever it is. But you don't leave it hanging there from the tree. So in this case, says Remeir, since Anovim obviously bought there, Kibitzur is Damien, we're not going to waste any time. We're going to go and harvest them today or tomorrow as soon as we can get our workers schnell. Otherwise, these grapes are soon going to be sour grapes, and therefore people won't be able to use it. Avosaroi, when you're talking about here, kokama deshafkaluhu, the longer that you leave it on its head, it's only going to go up in value.
What if it turns gray?
If you leave it there for 50 years, you got a problem. But assuming you're talking about
the longer it is, the more it improves.
The more it improves in value.
Wine, like wine?
It becomes gray, they can change the color to anything they want. Purple, they want different. They can dye it. But it's more usable. The longer it is, the more usable.
Most people these days want purple.
So it's quality versus quantity? It's quantity.
Here we're talking about that the quantity establishes the price. For instance, let's say they wanted to make a shekel out of it, want to make a wig. A longer wig commands more money because it's much longer, there's much more here. A short toupee, it's going to be much less value, much cheaper or inexpensive, much more inexpensive. So the fact that he wants to go and cut it now, but if he heard from someone, by the way, if you leave it for another 3 months, it's going to be another 8 inches in size, and then it's going to command a bigger price, okay, fine, I'm going to hold it another few months. So therefore, says Yimara, Ashbuchim Mashbach, it will improve in price. So even though we said that the Sar is Oymet Ligzois, but it's not that every single day, oh, you better go and cut it, you know it's going to go down. Forget it. Go ahead, take your time. Let's wait until after Sfira. We'll wait another few weeks, and then we'll wait until after the 3 weeks. Well, as long as it's there, it's only increasing in time. Okay, Zok Yimara Baita. Dinei Nefashois. So now it says the Mishnah, the Nefashis are 23, and Roiva Venirva is 23. What's Roiva Venirva? Roiva Venirva means that you have, unfortunately, a person, Rachmon Litzlan, who engaged in the fancy English word in bestiality. Ooh. Bestiality means he lived with an animal. And what we're talking about is not only the individual who lives with the animal goes and gets Misa based on a Bezin of 23, the animal also gets Misa based on a bezin of 23. That's what we had in our Mishnah. Now, the lashon of the Mishnah is that the animal is a roiva. Roiva means in the masculine position. It doesn't say who the nirva is. You would normally think that the animal is living with a woman, and that's why he's the roiva, the animal is the roiva, and the woman is the nir. However, the Gemara says, doesn't have to be. You can go and have a roiva who's going to be part of that annual parade, who's going to wear, you know, three different colors and who knows what, and therefore he could be a roiva zocher, that the animal is a roiva and living, that the nirba is a zocher instead of a nikev. Anyway, so what's the din? Our Mishnah does not distinguish in terms of the animal which is a roiva. Loishna roiva zochar, that the animal is a roiva and is being roiveya as zochar. Zochar meaning the victim or the participating individual in this maisa. Loishna roiva nekeva, that the animal is a roiva and the person who's participating is a woman. Mishnah doesn't distinguish. Es bishlema roiva nekeva dichsiv farakta esu isha v'esa behema. What is the pasuk? If you have the pasuk in its entirety, in number two, the isha shetikrav el kol behema l'riva, acha l'riva isa v'raktas isha v'yasa behema mois yumasu tameim ba. So the Gemara assumes that this pasuk v'raktas isha v'sahem is talking about that the animal was in the roiva position, as if it was a male, and it probably is a male, and that the isha is the isha, she's in her bas. So it says that not only do you kill the isha for engaging in this terrible act, but you also kill the behemah. That I understand. El roiva zachar minolan, how do I know roiva zachar? That if the animal lived with a zachar, not that the animal was a nirva, the animal was in the roiva, the position like the male, and the person who participated was also a male. How do you know there too that you have to go and kill the behemah? This is more dechsev. Kol shoyich behemah mois yumas. Whoever lives with a behemah gets killed. Emeina inyan l'shoyichiv tenei inyan l'nishkav. Then why does the Gemara say emeina inyan l'shoyichiv? Because the Gemara is assuming shoyichiv means that the person is the shoyichiv. He's the roiva. So in Bazoi, we're trying to prove a case where the behemah is the roiva. But says the Gemara, I don't need the pasuk of kol shoyichiv behemah if we're talking about that the man, the individual, is the one that is the roiva. Why not? Because for that I have another pasuk. What pasuk do I have? So our Gemara doesn't quote the pasuk, but the Mishnah quotes the pasuk. Where does the Mishnah quote the pasuk? Back on that day, Amir Aleph. Doesn't quote the entire pasuk, but it quotes part of the pasuk. It says, V'oimer, that's 6-7 lines into the Mishnah, V'yesa behema tahar roigu. Now, where does it say Besar Behemah Tarayu? So that's number two in the Torah Ora Shalem. It says V'ish Asheish Yiten Shchovti BeBehemah. Oh, so the Ish is in the Roiva position. The Behemah is in the Nirva position. Mois Yumas V'yasa Behemah Tarayu and kill the Behemah. So that's talking about where the Behemah was the Nirva and the Ish was the Roiva. So as Zimara, that being the case, what do I need another person talking about? Kol Shoichiv BeBehemah, that the man is the Roiva. I already have a pasuk. Right. So, if this pasuk is unnecessary to tell you shoichet, because I have that earlier pasuk, even though the man is the nishkav and the behema is the roiva, the shoichet, even there too, the halach is you have to have the bezin of 23. The afki rachman al beloshin shoichet. Why did the Torah talk about the animal as if it was kol shoichet behema? Where it really should have said kol hanishkav in behema, because the behema is in the roiva position. So why did it say kol shoichiv in behema? Comes to tell you lakushi nishkav l'shoichiv ma shoichiv hu vehemti be'esim l'shloisha. That's based on that other pasuk that the Mishnah brought. There's a behema taharoigu here too. Avnishkav hu behema be'esim l'shloisha. So in all cases, whether the animal is being roiveya a zocher or roiveya a nekeva, in all cases you have to have a bezin of 23, not only for the man or the woman that is the nishkav, that is the nirva, but also for the behema, also 23, because of this akish. Here is the barakti seish of behema, and here it says behema taroigu, and it says kol sheikha behema. So across the board, it's all the same thing. Now we get to shor and niskav esr mushloisha. Says the Gemara, Shenemer, how do I know? Says Ashor, Yisaka v'gamba olav, you must. Ki misis abalim, ka misis Ashor. Just like misis abalim, you always need a bezin of 23. How do you know misis abalim needs 23? Well, the Mishnah later on tells us, we've learned that. V'shoftu eida, v'yitzilo eida, and ein bezin shokl, and you have to have a 3, the 2, etc. So you have to have 23. Exactly. So you have to have 23. Fine. So just like misis abalim, Ashor, Yisaka v'gamba olav, you must. Now, the question over here is, what's the basis of this premise? Because, in other words, what's the premise of this drasha? Whenever we're darshaning something, we've already said, you need that first one, legufe, like ein darshan tchilis, right? We had that machlikas earlier on. So you always need the first one, legufe. Don't you need the gamba olav yumas, legufe? How are you learning hasher yisaka from the gamba olav yumas? And the answer is no. Because if you think about it for a moment, put back your bava kama hat, and you'll recall that if you have a behema that is a shor haniskel, which means it's already killed three times, when it says the gamba olav yumas, you don't kill the balan. Mm-hmm. The balan of the shor haniskel never gets killed. And the Gemara is going to bring a raya from the pasuk later on, because it says in the pasuk, the mois yumas hamak reitzeachu. When your shor killed someone, mister, you deserve to go and get condemned and criticized and all that. You don't deserve death for that because you didn't do it. It was your behemoth that did it. Gross negligence. It's wrong what he did. Wrong. So, why did it say the gamba olav yumas? It sounds like he gets killed. But the next posik right after that says, Im koifer yushas olav. Imkoif Yishas Olav means that we're going to demand from him not his life, but his money. He's going to have to pay Koifer for the fact that he went, that his animal killed someone else. You're wondering how much Koifer do you have to pay? It's a machloikis of Masechus Bava Kama, whether you say Kufra Mamoina or Kufra Kapara, which means you pay the value of the victim that Nebuch was killed by the Shor HaNiskel, or do you pay the value of the Baalim of the Shor HaNiskel? Of course, there could be a vast difference in value between one and the other. Anyway, so therefore, the gamba olav yumas, therefore, is totally meaningless, if you will. I don't need it. It could have said, Asher Yisrael, the gamba olav yishalem koifer. What is this, the gamba olav yumas? Ah, since these words are extra, now we're learning. Just kamisa sabalam, kach misa sasha. That's the end of the story. But now we're going to go through the kashas and terutzim, how we get there. Omali abaya, abaya l'rova. How do you know that you darshan that drasha? Maybe I should say the ketalu diasa. Maybe the pasuk is telling you the shor gets misa yisaka, the gamba olav yumas, and the balam also get misa, which is of course the poshup shot in the pasuk. Says Yomar, if that's the case, imkain lichtoiv the gamba olav, then I don't need the word yumas. It could have said in the pasuk, Hashor Yisakil, the gamba olav, go and kill the shor, and you kill the balan. So the word yumas is extra. Oh, from that extra, kamisa balan, kamisa hashor. Vaytimara, no, you can't go and say the gamba olav, because the kasu rachmona hachi have a minibus gila on both of them. You would say Hashor Yisakil, the shor gets gila, the gamba olav, who means the gamba olav? The balan also gets gila. So that's why it has to say yumas. So Vaytimara, no, skila silken taitach. That's impossible. Nobody would have such a havamina. Kotel iu b'sayif. What happens if you have a regular etzeach who killed somebody else intentionally? Then he has to go and get sayif. Sayif means he gets the cherev, he gets the
sword.
The sword, which is a third of the arba mises bezin. Skivus reifa, hereg, v'chenek. So that's number three is hereg. He gets a sword. Mamoinoi, if his mamoin killed someone, then you would say he's upgraded to get skila. But that doesn't make any sense. He didn't do it. His animal did. Okay. So it's on sayif, but not skila. So therefore, that couldn't have been a havamina. Freitimara, but I have another havamina. It says, Hashor Yisakel, the gamba olav, you must. You know why it says you must? Because Dilma Haide Kosar Rahmani, you must, la kuli ilave, la fuki misayiv lechanik. As we know, whenever it says in the Torah the word misa, stam misa in the Torah, is chanik. Ah, and we know that chanik is the fourth of the four misas bezin, right? Hereg vechanik. That's number four. So sol kedai techamina, that just like chasu shalom, if a person killed with a sword, not with a sword, somebody killed somebody else, he gets punished with a sword, he gets the hereg. So maybe if his animal also killed somebody, he should also go and get hereg. Says the prophet, you must, stam misas b'chenek, therefore you get a downgrade instead of getting saif, which is number three, you get chenek, which is number four. So then I need the gambalim yumas for that drasha. So how do I know kamis is a balan, kamis is a shor? So tomorrow, honey chalaman diyama chenek chomer. If you hold that chenek is more chomer, then this question falls away. Nitchan later on in our Masechta, we're going to see that there's a machlokes, just like we had a machlokes, whether skila is worth in Sreif or Sreif is worth in skila. We have the same machlokes, whether chenek is worth in herig or herig is worse than chenek. So we're going to have this later on in our Masechta. So according to the Mandiyama that holds chenek is chomor, then this whole question doesn't even arise. Just like the Gemara asked a moment ago. If you went and killed someone, chas v'sholom, that person would go and get herig, he would go and get tzayiv. The Gemara said, you can't say by a person that if his animal killed, that he should go and get skila. That doesn't make any sense. So now the Gemara is saying the same thing over here. If chenek is more chomor, I wouldn't need a pasi to go and say, you must, he should go and get chenek. If he himself killed, he would go and get herig. Oh, but if his animal killed, then he gets an upgrade, he gets the chenek. That doesn't make sense. So therefore, that cannot be the purpose of the pasuk of Yuma. So now it's Ibrik, so I can learn of Kimisa Malakat Misasha. Elaman Yama, chenek is killed, Michael Amaymer. So I takan need the Yumas to tell you that this person gets chenek instead of herig. So I need the pasuk. How can I learn Kimisa Malakat Misasha? All of these havaminis that this person should get killed, whether it's skila or get herig or get chenek, these are all impossible. The chsivit says in the next pasuk, "Im koifer yushas olav, he pays koifer. He doesn't get misa." And if you're going to go and tell me that this person deserves to get misa because his shor killed someone, the chsivit says in the pasuk, "Lo yisikhu koifer lenefesh roitzeach." Ashehu Rasha Lomas, that you don't take koifer for a Ritzeach. If a Ritzeach killed, even if the person happens to be a multimillionaire, says, I'm going to give you $20 million, and therefore, don't talk about it, don't talk about Chappaquiddick, don't talk about the fact that my name is Kennedy, don't mention anything about it, I'll just give you the $20 million, and we'll put it under the table, it'll be a major cover-up. How come the media didn't explore it then? That's leftist. Anyway, so says Zigmar. So how can the pasuk then say over here, you must, he should go and get lemashal chenek. And what is the im koifer yushas olav? That if a person wants to, he can go and redeem himself by paying koifer. You can't do that. As if, therefore, as Simon says the Gemara, that the words im olav, you must, fall away. We don't need those words at all, because there is no havamina of misa, because you can't say the im koifer is intended, well, he should get Misa, but if he wants to, he can go and redeem himself. There's no such thing. Muzach Zayin, that this person only has a chiv of koifer, no din of Misa whatsoever. Feitimara, Adarabba, I could tell you just the opposite. Mishum higufa, kotel iyu loitizgale mamamoina. In the case of a regular reitzeach, if he is a real confirmed reitzeach, he killed somebody intentionally, premeditated murder. Don't take a nickel from him. You go and take him to the gallows and you go and kill him. Not literally to the gallows. You go and take him, you give him herig. You go and decapitate him. You take him, go to the gallows. Anyway, it doesn't make a difference. Izukti Yimara is iu loitiska yimaina. Then don't free him and don't give him an excuse or a second option of moment. El biktola senochmo. Mishum hi gufa. Kotl iu loitiska yimaina. El biktola. The only option that you have is, the only alternative is killing him. Period. But Kotel Shoirai, if you're talking about the Shoar, obviously that doesn't rise to the same level that he killed himself. So living now Mish Mamaina. So maybe that's not the Kwanis and Pasik. The Pasik tells us that Ashur Yisakim, the Gambal of Yumas, if he doesn't come up with any money, Yumas, he should die. How should he die? Give him the Mashal Chenek. You're going to tell me Im Koifer? Yeah, if you can come up with the money, it's fine. But if you don't come up with the money, then you get Misa. So then, again, the words Gambal of Yumas are not superfluous. I needed to tell you the din, that there's a din of Misa by the owner of the Sharanesco.
If he doesn't pay the koifer.
It's El Amar Chizkia, V'chein Tonet V'chizkia Amar Kra, I have a pasik, another pasik. This is talking about not the pasik by the Shor Yisakim. This is the pasik by Ritzeach. Mois Yumas Hamak Ritzeachu, A Ritzicha Seyata Horgoi, Beata Horgal Ritzicha Shoiroi. There's no such concept that a person's Shor killed someone, that you kill the owner. It's not nice that the owner wasn't more protective of his shor, and he should have put it in a cage, and he should have tied it down, and he should have put three locks on the door. You're right. But unfortunately, if the shor and niskel came out and killed someone, you don't kill the owner. That's what it says in that pasuk. See, if that's the case, so why does it say in the pasuk, Gambal of Yumas? totally superfluous to teach you. Ashar Yisokov Kambalu Yumas, Kamisa Sambal and Kamisa Ashar, just like by Balim in normal circumstances, not the case of Ashar Yisokov. Normal circumstances 23. Ashar Yisokov Ultanita Bezin of 23. You can put two dots over here because this is a brand new Shtikl Gemar. Iboilu, Shor Sinai Bekama. What do you mean Shor Sinai? So Gemara is going back a little bit in history where it says that at the time of Matan Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, be magbil es ahar, and don't allow anyone or even behemoths to go up the har. And the Pasuk says, im behema im ish lo yichye, im shoich hayoivel, heima yalev ahar. As long as the Rabbeinu Shalom is there, kaviyachol, giving the Torah with Moshe Rabbeinu, nobody get close. And behemoth ish lo yichya. What happens if chas v'shalom a behemoth did get close? Then, unfortunately, he gets misa. How much misa? Do you need only 3 for the bezin? Do you need 23 for the bezin? Ziboilu, shor sina makama. How many did you need to go and be done that shor in bezin, whether it gets misa or not? Mi gomar sho'a mi doiros oiloi. Do you go and say, that was hirosh sho'a, and it was a one-time thing.
Before Mantora even, so, you know.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, can you even give us Hasra before Mantora? The Shor could say, I wasn't in the Parsha.
Yeah, I don't even know if there's an Indian of Hasra by Shor, but you're probably referring to the Bala Shor. I know you're just kidding. But it could be the Bala Shor, maybe you have to. But anyway, it doesn't matter. The Masnu Gemara says, Mi goma Shor ami doiro yiseloi. Just like doiro, you have 23. Here too. So, l'chori, the same question could be asked, Legabi the person.
Right.
So why does the Gemara? So let's address that in a moment. So Hashemah, the Tanya Rabbi Baricheskel, and behemim ish lo yichya, ma ish b'chav kimmel. Ah, behemim chav kimmel. Just like ish needs chav kimmel, behemim also needs chav kimmel. One second, Rabbi Yisai, how do I know ish b'chav kimmel? Ask the same question. Go and say, do I learn sho'om midoiris or not? So Rashi already asked this question. If you go to the Rashi, ma ish b'chav kimmel, it's about 5 lines up. So Drashi, this pshit alone, that's a vadach of Gimel. The Kvar hukvul Yisrael Sanhedrois mi Yisrael v'eilach. From the time of Yisrael, we already had Sanhedrois of 23, and we had the Sari Hamishim, the Sari Hasareis, etc. We had all the different levels of Bati Dinim, vis-a-vis people, already from the time of Yisrael. So that wasn't a shy. That I knew 23, because it's not just Shah Midoyer, it was Shah Mishah, where he had a judicial system and judges and panels and all the rest. But going and killing an animal because it went up the har, we never had such a situation previously. So therefore, that's a Shoah case. Do you learn Shoah Midoyer Sanan? So the more, yes, we learn from Ish B'chav Gimel, Abhaim B'chav Gimel. Now the obvious question is, Rabbi said, what difference does it make?
Did it happen or not? Yeah, if it didn't happen, it's hypothetical.
This is historical. This is not a Lucha L'maisa. We can look it up in Shulchan Aruch, what happened in the Shoah B'Sinai. This happened a few thousand years ago. So this is not my kasha. This is Toysis' kasha. You see, the Toysis Shoah Sinai Bekama. Skip down a little bit past halfway. Vim Toymer. Umay kami boile mi Shoah Sinai. Manav shach mino maida hava hava. Vus is minav kibita. Whatever happened, happened. If it did, it was killed by 23, it was killed by 3. I don't even know if there was such a shor. Maybe the Hagbola was so good, no shor went up. Who cares? And says, Tois b'chein kasha, I have a similar kasha. The Imor B'sech Zavoy Desoret asks, B'mesh Shemesh Moshe kol Shibis Yimei Miluam. Those 7 days right before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, what did Moshe Rabbeinu wear? Did he wear 4 begotten? Did he wear 8 begotten?
Or a simple white cloak.
Or a simple white cloak. That's Imor's answer. So what did he wear? Is there any picture of Moshe Rabbeinu from that time that I have to try to justify why he was wearing this, why he was wearing that? That maybe the Kavanah Segemar is when I'm learning the Pasuk im ish im behema lo yichya, that im behema ish lo yichya, so then I'm learning with my son and my son asks me, tell me if there's a din that you have to kill the behema, did you need 3 or 23? Good. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi is silent. Let's look Targum Unklis. Shteinish. So what's Taka? I don't know. So I want to be able to explain the Pasuk to the best of my ability. Says the Gemara, you'll be able to tell your son from now on, or your grandson, or whoever you're learning with. It's 23. Just like Ish is 23, Behem is also 23. Even Bayom Mehem before Matan Torah. And then we continue on in the Mishnah Hariva Azev. Now, to look back at the Mishnah, there are 3 dais in the Mishnah. We have the Tanakama, we have Reb Lezer, we have Reb Akiva. If you look at the Mishnah, it's about 10 lines into the white lines, the beginning of the line, 10 lines into the white, the base of an aleph, all the way to the beginning. It says, Hazev, the wolf, Ari is the lion, the doiv is the bear, Hanomer is the leopard, Fabardlis, Rashi, okay, the Mishnah said,
okay,
that's what the article usually says, but Rashi, the Mishnah is silent. There is a Rashi, however, here we'll see Mechem in a moment, on Tesfam of Days, which uses a French term, which I don't understand. Maybe the Frenchmen among us can help us. And then, Vahanochash, and a snake. So these six, Zeif, Ari, Doiv, Number, Parlis, Nochash, all six, Misosim, Esar, Shloisha, if you want to kill them, 23. Why do you want to kill them? Again, because they killed someone, whatever, and therefore, just like Mises HaBalim, Mises HaShar, Mises HaZeif, Ari, always need 23. Rabbi Elazar Oimer, kol hakodim lahar ganzacha. Don't wait for bate dinim. You see a dangerous ari.
Vigilante justice.
Take out your knife, take out your sword, shotgun, take out your shotgun. Exactly, and shoot him. Kol hakodim lahar ganzacha. We'll see in the Gemara what zacha means shortly. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, misas of yasir shloish, and on the misas 23. And of course, the Gemara is going to ask, Rabbi Kiva Hainatana Kama. The Gemara is going to ask that.
It's interesting, the Gemara is now quoting the Mishnah verse. It says in the Mishnah, Zev Ari, and here it says, Ari Ba Zev.
I'm very sorry.
It's just an interesting flip.
Yeah. Okay. But before we continue on, the focus of the Gemara is not going to be in the Tana Kama, it's going to be in Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer is called Koidim Lahar Ganzacha. What did Rabbi Lezer mean? Rabbi Lezer means that you're walking down the street and all of a sudden you see a lion coming to you from the other side. Do you believe it? I'm not lying. It was a lion coming the other side and you want to go and shoot it. Is that what Rabbi Lezer means? What does Rabbi Lezer mean after the lion, Chas V'Shalom, did damage and killed someone, instead of bringing that animal to Bezdin, now you can go and do vigilante justice, like you said, and go and kill it.
Do you do it preemptively or do it after the fact, after the crime?
Exactly right, and there's going to be a machloikis now between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. What does the Mishnah mean by Rabbi Lezer saying Kol HaKodim Zach? Om Reish Lakish, Vuhusha Misu. It's Dafka that one of these, the Ari Mit Zev, or the Zev Mit Ari, that they were Mamis. Avloi Misu Lai. But if they didn't do anything wrong, you have no right to just go and start shooting animals. You don't like the animal, Mazatar, but you have no right to go and stop shooting. If it committed an Aveira, it killed someone, then you can go and kill a good replacement. Alma, where's Reish Lakish coming from? Kosova, Yeshlan, Tabas, Yeshlan, Balan. He holds that one can domesticate any of these animals that we reckon in the Mishnah. And Ari, if any of you have ever been to the circus, I'm sure you've seen one of the circus acts is that the lions, they jump up and they jump down, and you have that trainer. Isn't he afraid for his life? There have been, unfortunately, terrible accidents. But b'derech klal, it works. So yesh len tarbis, you can cultivate that, you can domesticate them. The yesh len balim. What means yesh len balim? Says Rashi, any animal that you cannot domesticate is considered to be like hefker. Because no, you don't have any control over the animal. There's no way you can domesticate it. So no...
And no one can claim any bialas to sue you for destroying their property.
Very good. So therefore, if you can domesticate an animal, then it doesn't become any different than you having your cat or your dog or whatever you had, or your shor, the Yishlan Balam. So then there's a din of Balam, and that's why you're not allowed to go and kill. It's only if they already killed, so this is a Ribikuch Nefesh to society, then you're allowed to go and shoot the country. Shlokish. Even if they didn't go and kill anyone. You can stand on your end. There's no way of cultivating or domesticating any of these animals. These animals are dangerous forever. The Einlem Balam, therefore they're Hefker. If they're Hefker, they have no Balam. And therefore you're allowed to go and shoot to kill. There's no one that you're not taking anybody else's property away. It's a Hefker. And therefore, shoot, no problem. So we have a Machloikis, therefore, what did Reb Lezer hold in our Mishnah? It's tonight. Let's go back to our Mishnah. Reb Lezer, Yom HaKodim Lahargon, is Zocha. What means Zocha? Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan, my Zocha, Zocha La'iran. I can understand, according to Rabbi Yochanan, since you're killing an animal, it did not previously kill, just because it's a dangerous instrumentality, it's a dangerous animal. So what will you Zaychen? You kill it, and you take the art, and you make from that beautiful.
A bearskin rug, or a snakeskin purse, or wallet.
Or whatever, which can be very, very valuable for those people that are familiar with these things. And so therefore, he was Zaych. El Reish Lakish, Lamai Zocha. What was he Zaych? Since we're talking about animals that are already killed, Shevin Rabbanan Kiman to Gomer Dinayu Visuri Anoninu. Just like by Ashur and Niskel, the halacha is that if you go and give skila, or even if you didn't give skila yet, but once the bezin has paskin, it goes to the skila, even if the animal that let's not talk about an Ari, let's talk about a regular shor. And the Bezin Paskin, that this shor needs skila. By the time they got their act together, the Balaam quickly brought in a shaychid and they shechted the animal, and he wants to sell now the shor meat, which beef could be very valuable. Says you want to know that it's Isur Hanon, they want to learn it from a pasik. What's the pasik? Says we Balaam, something Balaam Einloy or something like that. He doesn't have any
Baal Shornaki.
Baal Shor Noki, Noki mi minchosav. The ain loy boy hanor shulklum. Thank you. So Baal Shor Noki, Noki minchosav, ain loy hanor shulklum. So I see from this it's Yisur Hanor. So if it's Yisur Hanor, what's the zacha? According to Reish Lakish, that you're saying that this animal deserved misa. And Shavina Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan said, you don't have to go to court. You become the 23-man court and shoot to kill as soon as possible. And if that's the case, so then it's like a case of a Shor Nisko, and therefore it should be Yisur Hanor. So what's the Zocha? My Zocha? Zocha L'Shamayim. What's the L'Shamayim? Says Rashi, Tzedok Asa. He did a favor to the whole community. He deserves to go and be honored at the next year's Malam Malka. What a wonderful guy. Baruch Hashem. He read this animal already killed one. Could have killed another 10 people. Oh, Zocha L'Shamayim. So bottom line is, we have Machlokes Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. So we're going to try to be poishit from my Braisa Tani. What's Reish Lakish? Echad Shor Shehemes ve'echad Behema v'chaya Shemi. So any one of those chayas, the Ze'ev, the Ari, and the Bartless, all those that we mentioned in the Mishnah, Shehemisu b'chav Gimel. Rabbi Leza Oime, Shor Shehemes v'yas v'shloisha. Shar Behema v'chaya Shehemisu. Kalakonim lahorgon zoch mehem l'shamayim. Oh, so it says very, very clearly, the behemah v'chai shemisu, after the, oh, that's what Reish Lakish said, Om Reish Lakish. For who shemisu? Aflo yemisu lo. If it was not meimis, you have no right to go and shoot it, because maybe it can be domesticated, and therefore yesh len balim, so you have no right to go and kill, it only has to be after shemisu. Then Zoch ben l'shamayim, like we said, he did a tzedok, he did a wonderful chesed for the community. Rebbe Kiva Oimer 23, Rebbe Kiva Ha'netane Kama, it also says 23. Ekebenayu nochash. The Tanakama had a whole list of six. It says Rabbi Kiva, I agree to the first five, but not to the sixth. The sixth one was nochash. That one I disagree. Why does Rabbi Kiva disagree? It says Rashi, because elsewhere, back when we were learning Arba Avos Nezikin, it says nochash muad li'oilam divri hakoil. Everybody agrees that nochash is muad li'oilam. There's nothing to talk about. And therefore, everybody agrees by the nochash to Rabbi Lezer, that you're allowed to go and kill, even before it kills anyone else, because a nochash is mu'ud, it doesn't have to become gradually a tam, and then after three times a mu'ud. It's a mu'ud from day one, from, obviously we're talking about a poisonous snake, we're not talking about a garter snake, or those which
and
are not.
It's interesting, there are people who do own them, and charm them, and domesticate them, snake charmers, you know.
So the Gemara presumably assumes that these are Echad mini elephant matzasi, yeah, one out of a million. Exactly, shchiach, and therefore doesn't have the same thing. Okay, zukimor yetzvaiter. We said in the Mishnah, ein donin es hashevet, and then something else, and then a kohen gadol, except for a bezin of 71. So now the Gemara says, hay shevet the chote b'may. What chait did the shevet do that you have to have a bezin of 71? Ilay m'shevet shechilas haShabbos the nebuch. A ganz shevet or a roiv of a shevet was machal Shabbos, and therefore you're going to be done them. And the Mishnah says you have to have 71. Aim the Palik Rachmana ben Yechiel and Reuben lein nevoides kechavim shar mitzvahs mi Palik. Where do we find that the Torah made any distinctions between a yochid that does an aveira or Reuben that do an aveira? We find the gabei the din of iranidachas, because a regular person that does aveira zora chas v'sholom he gets skill. If he does it together with a ganz oilam, then they get a cherif the sayif, as well as an afkmin of the gabei the.
The money,
the government, their possessions. Yeah, exactly. So there we find the difference between one person is Oyve Avodah Zarah and a Rabban doing Avodah Zarah. But did we ever find a chilek between one person doing a Chet on Shabbos, Minchal Shabbos, and 50 people, or 100 people, or 1,000 people? We don't find any difference. We find if there's a difference if it's Meshoyigig.
Right,
that's where we find a chilek. But now we're talking about Meshoyigig, but they were talking about Mezid. That's why we're getting a Bezin together of 71 by the Shevet. So Freit Dimar, if you give him Mises Bezin, why are you distinguishing between the ganze Shevet, or half of the Shevet, or one individual? There's no difference between Mitzvah and Mipalik. Elze Dimar b'Shevet Shehudach. Oh, we're talking about a Shevet Shehudach. Listen, Hudach means like Iranidachas. That this Shevet, unfortunately, have all gone to Avodah Zarah. Lememra, to Medina, to Rabban, they need a lay. So what you're telling me is that because it's not an individual, it's agam to shayivet, then has a din of dina derabim like an irni dachas type of situation. He says, well, if that's the case, kiman leik Rabbi Yosef leik Rabbi Yonason, then it doesn't stim either like Rabbi Yosef or who are Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Yonason. The same with the brayzer. At kama oisin irni dachas, what's the maximum number of irni dachas? Miyud viadkof. You start off with a little shtetl, a little kfar of 10 people, up to a city of 100. That can be an irni dachas. Div Rabbi Yosef. You can start off from 100. Even to Roy of a Shevet can have a din of Irni Dachas. He never said by Kulay, the ganze Shevet has a din of Irni Dachas. It's 70 or 71. I never heard of something like that. Amra Masna, you're right. We're not talking about the Shevet. We're talking about the Nasi. Meaning, as you know, it says in Parshas Mushan, Parshas Bamidbar, and the Nosai, you have the Nosi. The Nasiyah,
right.
And each day there's a different Nosi of a different Shevet. So therefore, Nosi of the Yehuda, I think, is Nachshon Ben Moni Dov, Melachi Yehuda. Okay, so what happens if the Nosi of a Shevet is Choyte? There you have to have a Bezin of 71. Askin. Mili Amar Avad Barahav, Kol Adomar Gadi Yavir Lecha. What does that mean, Dovra Gadu? Poshup, shall we mean that it's a large amount? No, he means Dvarav Shel Gadol. Hainami Gadol Hu. He also has a status like a Gadol. Now, if you go back to the Mishnah just for a moment, you'll see that the Mishnah says not only the case of the Shevet, in the Lisa Shevet, but like it's Koyin Gadol. So just like the Koyin Gadol, he's the Gadol. Here also, not the Shevet is considered to be the Gadol. And therefore, both in that case, as well as in the case of the Navi Sheker, we'll let me after the Bezin of a Sanhedrin of 70 or 71. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Say Zach, your bench.